You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. The produce section of your local grocery store has probably undergone a shift over the last decade. In years past, you may not have given a second thought to whether your broccoli or your apples were organic or not. But a new report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture shows that the demand for organic foods has grown so much that a record number of farms are seeking to become certified organic. There's been a 300% increase since 2002. And Wisconsin, which is known as being a farming powerhouse, is working to meet that demand. Joining us now is Margaret Crome. She's the Policy Program Director for the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute. Margaret, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
So what kind of growth has the organic farming industry seen in recent years?
Well, all over the country, it's been growing leaps and bounds, but in Wisconsin, it has as well. And we are now number two in terms of numbers of organic, certified organic farmers, and especially heavy in the, I'll say, robust in dairy and livestock and oil seeds and grains. Those are some of our strengths, but also in vegetables. So we have a growing interest. We also have, interestingly, our organic sector is younger than most. We have most of our other sector in agriculture. You've probably heard about the problem with aging farmers. We have a problem with not enough new farmers coming in. Well, that's not true in organic agriculture. We have a profile that's more women and younger in organic. And then also we have more farmers kind of lined up to become organic in Wisconsin. We have transitional farmers that are in that 3-year, you know, zone where they have to, they can't yet be certified, but they're in the middle of doing the organic practices. We have more of those queued up to become organic farmers.
I got to ask, you said we're number two. Who's number one?
It's California.
California. Okay, well, number two, not so bad for a Midwestern state. If you're looking at the organic numbers, that seems significant. What do you think it is about Wisconsin that has got it such at the vanguard at this organic movement?
Well, there are lots of things, and maybe I'll start with one of the most obvious, which is where we're number one. You don't want to miss the chance to say that. And that's with dairy. So no big surprise. We are the cheese state. We're the dairy state. And so we are number one nationally in organic dairy. And no big surprise there, Organic Valley is a cooperative in southwest Wisconsin, western Wisconsin, that is a powerhouse nationally. And it, of course, helps a lot of farmers certify. So that's one reason. But there are really others that make Wisconsin a natural, I think. One is we have a history of livestock agriculture, and livestock agriculture tends to be more diversified. So if you're a more diversified farmer, it's easier for you to, you don't need to use pesticides in the same way. If you're a monocropping farmer, it's harder. So that in itself makes it easier. But we have a bunch of institutional reasons, one of which I'm sitting in right now, the University of Wisconsin, is a very significant player. We have the, you know, Center for Integrated Agricultural Systems, which is our sustainable agricultural center on campus, but it does a lot of work all around the state. UW Extension, not, you know, many states have cut their extensions. In Wisconsin, we have not, well, we actually, unfortunately, this last budget cut extension, but we still have a robust extension program. Our county extension and our agents and our specialists in the state, that makes a difference. Our Department of Agriculture, how many states can say that they have an organic coordinator, have an organic advisory council? That's really unusual. Our technical colleges, we have several of them. Northeast Wisconsin Technical College has a program in organic agriculture. So there are lots of those things, plus, of course, our cooperative history. So we have a marketing tradition. We have a system of cooperatives that helps the growers come into it, as in Organic Valley, but also helps with the market development with our food co-ops and our community-supported agriculture and farmers markets. I mean, we've really, over the years, found a lot of synergy here in the state.
What is the process like to become organic certified? You mentioned a transitional period. What does that whole scope look like?
Well, it is that's one of the impediments to coming into organic agriculture, because it's very common for somebody going into organic to experience a drop in yields at the front end. And your land has to be 3 years without any of the synthetic pesticides that organic prohibits. And if it's been accustomed to that, and you've been accustomed to that, you're apt to see yield drops. And during that period, you still don't get the benefit of an organic premium price. So you're apt to struggle, and it can be a tough process. You're certified by having a certifying agency go through a very comprehensive process with you, checking what kinds of inputs you use, looking over all of your records. The really interesting questions that people ask having to do with your soil management and your pest management. And you go through that process. Fortunately, we have real assets, not just the ones I mentioned, but we have, Wisconsin. So you may not know this, but it's kind of fun to me that around the country, in fact, all over the world, there is no single place that's hotter in organic than La Crosse, Wisconsin, the last weekend in February. It is the largest organic farming conference in the world.
Really?
That's absolutely. It's sponsored, run by the Midwest Organic Sustainable Education Services, known as MOSES. And, you know, people all over the country say, oh, you're going to go to MOSES this year. I mean, it's a huge draw internationally and nationally. And we have those kinds of resources. And the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute, I'm proud to say, we do a lot of research. We do a lot of education. I do policy work. So we have an apparatus that's built up to help farmers go through this process, not to mention all of the organic research. We have a distinction in Wisconsin. We just got the first in the nation endowed chair in organic plant breeding. How about that?
A lot of resources here in Wisconsin, right? We're talking right now with Margaret Crome, Policy Program Director for the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute, and she's talking with us about the increased demand for organic foods nationwide and how Wisconsin is meeting that demand. Seems to be booming. We're number two in the nation. Why do you think there is this demand for organic food in not just Wisconsin, but in the nation? What are we seeing?
Well, I think it's a product of a lot of things. I think a number of people, partly it's a result of more transparency in the food system. I think as people get to know, as there are more farmers markets, and as there are more community-supported agriculture systems, and as there are more cooperatives, you know, food co-ops, people actually want to know more about their food. And the more they know, the more they would like to have more control over what they are consuming. One of the virtues of the organic standards is it lets you know what's there. I mean, part of the reason organic is grown is a lot of people don't want genetically modified organisms. You've heard that big fight just in the last few months. That's something that you can control if you buy organic, because you're not allowed to use GMOs if you are an organic farmer. That's part of the label. And so there are a number of things. People are concerned about food safety. Lots of people are concerned about what it does to the environment. A lot of people are glad to support farmers getting a higher price. So there are a number of reasons why consumers support organic. Those are some, not all. But a lot of it, I think, is a desire to protect the health, especially of kids. A lot of parents, I know, personally, anecdotally, I know an awful lot of people who said, well, I never particularly cared when I was a college student, but now I got kids, and now I'm wanting to. I mean, I've seen some of the research largely comes out of Europe and other countries. We don't have as robust a research apparatus, and that tends to, well, I won't malign any of the research in this country, but I'll say that other countries with very rigorous research have shown some real concerns with health risks with pesticide exposures.
And what about the cost of organic food? Because it tends to be more expensive than food that is conventionally produced, may have some pesticides, is not certified organic, and therefore, you know, it might not be accessible to everybody. It could be something that is only for the upper tiers of socioeconomic classes. Do you worry about that?
You know, one of the things that I love about this last 20 years in working in this area is everybody I know worries about that. No one takes that as a small matter. From the very beginning in the Madison area CSA Coalition, now called Fair Share CSA Coalition, from the very outset, people were concerned about having access for low-income consumers. Many of the food co-ops do. There are lots of programs to help address that, because if it's important for me, I want it to be accessible to anybody. And that's a very common sentiment. And so there are lots of strategies that people have set up to address that, some nationally, some state, some local. So nationally, in the most recent farm bill, for example, passed 2 years ago, there was a program typically called the Double Bucks program. Basically, if you are a SNAP recipient, or a food stamp recipient, and you can go to the farmers market around Madison area, from Dane County, for instance, you go to the market and you can get up to $25 per day of your fruits and vegetable purchases doubled. You can double that amount. Now, that doesn't say you have to be organic, but it allows you to purchase organic. There are a lot of HMOs that, and you know, health care groups that are offering incentives for purchasing fresh fruits and vegetables. And again, you can choose with that extra to purchase organic. There are what's called environmental benefit transfers. So it's basically a mechanism that you can go to a farmer's market or store and you can use your SNAP voucher there. And that makes it easier for you to have access. There's several of these. And of course, a lot of co-ops actually have systems to make it easier.
We're talking with Margaret Crome right now, Policy Program Director for the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute. And we're talking about the big demand for organic foods nationwide. It's grown 300% since 2002, talking about how Wisconsin fits into that picture. And we're taking your calls about organic food. Do you shop organic? Do you farm organic? Would you like to see more organic products at the grocery store? And do you think organic food is accessible to everybody, or is it a luxury item? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We're continuing our conversation about the explosive growth in the demand for organic foods and how that's shaping the agricultural industry nationwide and here in Wisconsin. We're joined now by Margaret Crome. She's the Policy Program Director for the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute. And we're taking your calls, too, at 800-642-1234. Do you shop for organic food? Do you think it's getting more accessible to everyone, or do you think it's still out of reach for consumers and we need to do better on that? Do you think it's good for farmers in Wisconsin? Call 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll take our first caller. We've got Peter on the line in Madison. Peter, hi.
Hi. My question dealt with the feasibility of actually turning all farming into organic. I mean, if it's good in a little bit, then the logic would hold that we all should be turning organic. On the other hand, it's my understanding that if all farming was organic, we wouldn't sustain the world. The world would starve. One of the reasons that we're able to feed the world is because proper management and acreage production allows us to produce more, and organic just simply isn't sustainable to feed the world.
Peter, thanks a lot for that question. And Margaret, what do you say to that, that the organic is not enough when you have so many people in need of food in the world?
Well, it's a great thought, and it's a very common perception. I would say, first of all, in terms of the work that Michael Fields Agricultural Institute does and the work that I do, I work with farms across a wide spectrum. I love working with farmers who are wanting to protect their soil, conserve their soil, keep the water, the nutrients on their ground, reduce their pesticides, and they don't have to be organic for me to be thrilled to work with them. And I think that's one of the strengths in our state is we have a wide spectrum, and that's a good thing. However, to your specific question, I'd say, yeah, I think that you're right at the moment. If organic as it is right now with the amount of investment that's been placed in organic research, which is a very small amount relative to the other kind of research, and with the other kinds of subsidies that have supported mainstream and conventional agriculture compared to organic, it's true that at this moment, it really, really, I think it's a fair point. But it's also fair to say that organic has struggled mightily and has grown despite the infrastructure which has supported its competition, and yet it is growing and surviving. As we have more research to support it, as we have more institutional support, better crop insurance support, better national sorts of subsidies, transportation subsidies, marketing subsidies, all the subsidies that the rest of agriculture enjoys, we'll be able to find some of its costs coming down and efficiencies captured.
Peter, appreciate that call, and we're going to go next to Harriet in Gays Mills. Hi, Harriet.
Hi. I've been a certified organic farmer since 1989, and I have to say that over time I have found that organic farming has made my farm more productive. Year after year, the more I follow organic production practices, and it makes me less reliant on outside input, so my economic bottom line is better, too, because I don't have to buy many pesticides anymore. I don't have to buy outside fertility inputs because I've learned how to do this with cover cropping and crop rotation and putting in native plantings so I have beneficial insects. And what they, it just, I've seen it on my farm, and just the soil tilth and health. Every year, we can't believe it, but it just gets better and better.
Harriet, appreciate that call. And Margaret, Harriet, painting a picture of organic farming that becomes richer and easier to sustain as she goes along and learns about the practices and reaps some of the benefits. Is that typical, or is this something that can be difficult?
Well, it can be difficult, but it isn't unusual. I mean, I think that a lot of farmers find that because organic agriculture and more broadly sustainable agriculture is management intensive as opposed to purchased inputs intensive, it's as you get more aware of the variables, you can capture a lot of benefits. And, you know, a lot of organic farmers and sustainable ag farmers have found that as we have increasing climate problems and we have extreme weather, drought, extreme floods, having that rich investment in your soil, which is an absolute foundational point with organic agriculture, means that the water goes into the soil, it retains better. So you find lots and lots of studies over many years have shown that organic agriculture is able to have better yields in tough years. So that can actually, it's a form of resilience in our state's agriculture.
We're talking right now about the boom in the demand for organic food with Margaret Crome, Policy Program Director for the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute. And another quick call here from Pat in Holman. Pat, hello.
Hi, how do you do?
Good, thanks.
I just wanted to say that I've been a longtime organic food consumer, and that my income is not in the high level. I am now a senior citizen, but I've been buying organic for a long time. And I'm not on SNAP, but I do qualify for fuel assistance in the wintertime. And that it is possible, if you shop smartly, that you can get a good organic diet without breaking the bank.
All right, Pat, thanks for that. And what do you think about her comments? Is that paint a picture that you think is accurate about the way people are able to access food if they know about the resources now?
Yeah, I think a good part of it has to do with education. Of course, we're finding that across the food system, that a lot of people haven't really gotten into the habit of thinking about what they eat, how they invest their money. And so I'm happy to hear that from Pat, and I think that there are a lot of consumers like that. Great shopping.
All right, Pat, appreciate your call. And Margaret, where do you see the organic food industry going in the next couple of years? We've seen this kind of record growth here, 300% since 2002. But just briefly, what would you say you see on the horizon?
Well, I'm sure there's going to be continued growth. There's no reason to not assume it. And I have to say the largest part of agricultural investments is making the same assumption. There's money coming into organic agriculture because it's growing. And it's been growing now for 20 years, and there's no reason to think it will stop. Hopefully, it will become more diverse, and we'll find increasing structures to help make it easier for farmers.
So you see growth on the horizon, even though it's been 20 years growing.
It's been 20 years growing more than. And yeah, and there's no doubt it's going to continue to grow. I mean, I don't think there's anybody who's making monetary investments who doesn't assume the same.
All right. Well, we'll keep watching it. I'm sure it's going to be something to watch here in Wisconsin. And when did you say the La Crosse Moses Festival is?
It's the last weekend in February. And you can always look up Moses Organic, and you'll find it. It's one of the most robust, 3,600 attendees this past year. We kind of squeeze ourselves in there. It's really powerful, and very diverse farmers of all stripes and sizes and kinds come to that conference.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Margaret Crome, Policy Program Director for the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute, talking about the boom in organic food nationwide and, of course, here in Wisconsin as well.